This is the start of the July 27th, 1984 interview with William Bacalus of Jacksonville, Florida. The interview concerns the Greek community of Jacksonville and its traditions. Mr. Bacalus is the manager of the annual Greek festival. The interviewer is David Taylor of the Bureau of Florida Folklife Programs. Now, first of all, I wanted to ask you your birth date.
My birth date?
Yeah.
November the 3rd, 1932.
And you were telling me you were born in Virginia, is
that right? Mm-hmm. Norfolk, Virginia. Mm-hmm. That's where I was born.
And how long ago was it that you came to Florida?
Came to Jacksonville in November of 1955. Mm-hmm. And settled and been here ever since.
And you're working as a hospital administrator?
I'm the business office manager for Methodist Hospital here in Jacksonville.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I've been there almost 15 years. Mm-hmm. Previous to that, it was with Baptist Memorial Hospital here for 6 years. Mm-hmm. And before that, you know, I was back working for the government. I was overseas.
Uh-huh. Were your parents both Greek?
Both parents born in Greece, immigrated here in the early 1900s, like 1908, 1909. Mm-hmm. And of course, my parents did not know each other until they met in this country, and they married in this country, and of course, had 5 sons.
What part of the country did they come to from Greece?
They came to Virginia.
Oh, directly there?
Yeah, they came to Virginia. They met in Norfolk, Virginia. Then after they were married, they moved to Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. I think for about a year or two. My father went into business in Wilkes-Barre. And then business did not do too well, so then they came back to Virginia and they stayed there. The rest of their time. They both passed on now. And they had 5 sons, I being the youngest.
Mm-hmm. Was Bacalus the name that your father used when
mm-hmm. he was in Greece? Bacalus, uh-huh. In Greek it's pronounced Bacalis.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Bacalis.
What was your mother's maiden name?
It's a long one. Uh-huh. But it was shortened when she came to this country. Her maiden name was Kostandopoulos.
Uh-huh.
But it was shortened to Constant. C-O-N-S-T-A-N-T. She came here. Her brothers brought her to this country. She had 3 brothers in the United States, and they sent for and brought her to this country at the age of, I think she was about 18 or 19. Hmm. And back then, they, you know, it was fixed marriages. It wasn't this falling in love bit.
Is that why they sent for her to marry?
Well, they sent for her naturally, and they knew that, you know, that she'd be fixed up with someone.
Yeah.
And one of my uncles, the uncle that brought her here, knew my father in Virginia, and the arrangement was made. They didn't have much choice.
And what was the attraction of Virginia? How did your father happen to choose to come there?
He had a friend that lived in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And of course, he had another brother that lived in Virginia, too. I forgot about that.
Oh, I see.
He had a brother that came previous to him. Mm-hmm. And the friend and the brother brought him to Virginia. Anyone that immigrated to this country had to go to some place where they had relatives or some place to. Yeah. So that's how he ended up in Virginia.
What part of Greece did he come from?
From the Peloponnesian Islands, both of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Peloponnesian Islands. Their homes were probably less than 100 miles apart, but of course they didn't know each other. And that's where they immigrated and that's where they stayed.
Was there do you remember much of a Greek community in Virginia when you were growing up?
Yes. I grew up in a very strong, viable Greek community, just like our kids are doing today.
Uh-huh.
The community that I came from in Norfolk was a little bit larger than the community here, larger Greek community, that is. And we were all born and raised, baptized in the Orthodox Church,
mm-hmm.
and grew up in the Orthodox Church, and everything was centered around the church.
Yep.
As a lot of activities are today, mm-hmm. not quite as much as it was back then,
mm-hmm.
but everything was centered around the church, school, family, and church.
Mm-hmm.
There were a little bit tighter knit families back then.
What Was the school associated with the church in any
way? No, no, no. School, we all, you know, went to regular public schools, but it was not associated with the church. But we did go to Greek school in the afternoon.
Oh, what did that involve?
Well, the language. Of course, we knew the language anyway. You know, most of us spoke the second language before we even knew English.
Yes.
Because of the inability of our parents to communicate. Mm-hmm. We'd go to American school until, 3 o'clock, and then walk to Greek school from there and go to Greek school about 6 or 7 o'clock at night.
Well, that's a long day.
This was 5 days a week back then.
Yeah.
Since then, a lot of communities don't even bother to have Greek parochial school the way they do now. Some of your larger cities do. Up in New York, they do. Mm-hmm. We had a Greek school here for a while, but it's fizzled out. Mm-hmm. Kids lost interest in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we didn't have a whole lot of choice back then. You know, we did what our parents told us to.
Yes. Yeah.
If I told my son today to go to Greek school, he'd probably laugh at me. Mm-hmm. You know, my daughter the same way.
How did you feel about it, even though you didn't have a choice?
I didn't mind.
Yeah.
I didn't mind at all. I went to Greek school. We had 6 grades, 1st through 6th. And I graduated from the 6th grade. Well, same time you graduate from 6th grade, you know, in public school. But I continued to go.
Mm-hmm.
My family insisted I go, and I got 6th grade over and over again. And I graduated every year. And I was 17 years old, still going to Greek school. But I wasn't rebellious at all towards it. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Consequently, today I speak the language as well as I do English. I read it and write it almost as well as English, not quite.
Mm.
I have some problems with my grammar,
mm-hmm.
But I have a good grasp of the language.
Yeah. How traditional was home life compared to the old country? In your family?
The home life was fairly traditional.
Mm-hmm.
In that everything was centered around the church. We celebrated different holidays that they don't celebrate, you know, that regular people, non-Greeks did not celebrate, not regular people. We had certain holidays during the year that we celebrated. Holidays that that are and have always been big in our church are name days, namesakes days.
Saints days?
Yes, saints days. My father was named Nicholas, so we celebrated his name day
mm-hmm.
on St. Nicholas Day,
mm-hmm.
which was the first week of December, I think December the 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And it had nothing to do with Santa Claus. You know, this was
this is
a saint, St. Nick.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, all the community would come to the home, you know, at night, and there'd be a big spread and be dancing and music, and you know, everyone would come to honor my father on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing happened with St. James and St. Basil. I'm St. Basil. My name day is on the first day of the year, January the 1st. My son Chris is on Christmas Day, Christopher, you know, named after Christ, of course. So that type of activity was big as we were growing up. Today, it's not quite as prevalent as it was back then.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a few people who do celebrate their name days, but not in as large of a fashion as it did it back then.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, having the Greek school, having Greek Independence Day, which was March 25th, which was when we were freed from the Turks
mm-hmm.
for, 200 years. We had big celebrations for March 25th, and all of these celebrations were usually held in conjunction with the church and with the Greek school
mm-hmm.
and with the family. So everything was very traditional,
mm-hmm.
very traditional. And of course, we still had our school playmates and our playmates in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Yeah.
But basically, all of our social activity was centered around the church.
In your community, where you lived, where your house were there other Greek families in the vicinity?
Yes, there were. There were. In our particular neighborhood, we probably had, within a radius of 5 or 10 blocks, maybe 15, 20 families. And there was a lot of communication and a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Socialization
yeah. within everyone
uh-huh.
in the community. And everyone was very close. We're close today, but we don't have quite that closeness today as we had years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's true with everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yes, many people have remarked that.
same thing to me.
Yeah.
Having nothing to do with ethnicity, just right. general society.
That's right.
When you moved here to Jacksonville, how did you find the Greek community comparing to the one that you've been associated with in Virginia?
Well, when I moved here, of course, I was a lot older. I was, in my middle 20s when I moved here. The community here in Jacksonville was a lot smaller than it is even now. We probably had maybe 75 or 100 families.
Yeah.
Now we probably have in excess of 200 to 300 families here in Jacksonville now. When I first moved here, we had a small church downtown on Laura and Union Street.
Mm-hmm.
It's since been torn down. Mm-hmm. The First Baptist Church purchased the land. They made a parking lot out of it. And I was, welcome, very welcome in the community by the Greeks. As a matter of fact, I had been here barely a year, and I was made president of the Greek Orthodox Youth of America, the local chapter here.
Uh-huh.
So I fell right into it,
Yeah.
And of course, in the meantime, my wife was away at college, and I met her at church, as a matter of fact, on Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And when she came back from college, and of course, eventually we got married. We have stayed very active in the church. And I think one reason we've stayed as active as we have is because we're both of Greek descent, Greek heritage.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of intermarriages now with Greeks with non-Greeks. If you come to our church today, you'll probably find more than half the people in the church
mm-hmm.
are not Greek.
Mm-hmm.
They're married to Greeks.
Were your wife's parents also born in Greece?
Yes. They're really from the same region of Greece that my parents were from. Of course, they didn't know each other. They didn't know each other until we married.
Yeah.
But her father has since died. My mother and father both died. Her father died, and her mother still lives here in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
So,
How long have there been two Greek churches? I believe there are two.
No, there's one.
Just one.
Just one Greek church. As a matter of fact, here's a picture of it right here.
Oh, yes.
It's over on Atlantic Boulevard. I pulled that out in case you wanted to look
thanks.
At it. It's over on Atlantic Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
That church was built 1967, I believe. Yeah, 67 is when we opened, March of 67.
Mm.
And we're still there. And that's where our Greek festival comes out of, that church.
Now tell me, how did that get started?
Well, actually, for years we had a yearly dance. And we would call it a dinner dance to raise funds, of course, for the church.
Mm-hmm.
It would consist of hiring a band, bringing a band in, and having a meal, And we charged, $7, $8, $10 a person, whatever it was. I forgot what it was. And then slowly, we started hearing of larger communities that would have Greek festivals.
Mm-hmm.
So I happened to be on the parish council, the board of directors, board of trustees of the church. And then in 78, we decided to have our first Greek festival, and I was appointed in 78 to head up the first festival. And of course, we went into this totally, not knowing what in the world was going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Our church facilities were not really that big. The parking was not adequate. So we decided to have the festival downtown at the Civic Auditorium, not knowing if it was going to be successful or not. So we started, we had it in October 19th and 20th of that year ran for two days, and we were a smashing success. And we made $12,000,
wow.
And with that was really big money. So it was so successful and went over so big, we decided we would have the festival again the following year. So being it was so successful, they thought they'd ask the previous chairman to be chairman again, so I was chairman the second time. It got a little bit bigger that year.
Yeah.
And then we had it in September of that year. We had it for three days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So I'd had 2 years of it, and I figured, give somebody else a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So then the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth year, they had different chairmen. And then this year again, I'm chairman again this year.
Uh-huh.
And we're still running for 3 days. We're going to have it again in September. But it's gotten a lot more sophisticated
mm-hmm.
than
well,
it was
about
the first
that
started.
First one. What sorts of things happened during the festival?
Well, the first festival, of course, not knowing exactly how it was going to work out, we knew that ethnic food would go over real big. So we cooked a lot of our ethnic foods. We had booths, souvenir booths. Oh, I'm going to have to answer the phone. You want to cut your machine off?
Yep. Yeah.
We had souvenir booths. We had cultural booths. We had pastry booths. You know, we just set up a whole array of different booths. And we sold ethnic foods. And we did that all day Friday. And then we did it all day Saturday. And then we closed down about 7 o'clock, or 6 o'clock Saturday evening, brought the band in, and then had a dance, you know, just a dance for the evening. And that about took care of it. But then the following year, we decided we'd be a little bit more sophisticated with it, and we had a stage show. We hired a group from Canada that came in. With the bouzouki player, you've seen the bouzouki players, and dancers and singers. Uh-huh. And that went over very big, very big. We had them for 3 nights. Then we lost track of them, and then we didn't have them again until 1981. And then we're going to have them again this year.
What's the name of the group?
The name of the group at that time was called Holiday in Greece. But the group has disbanded, and it's a new group. But it's basically some of the same people in it.
Yeah.
The bouzouki player, George Antonopoulos is his name. He's the star of the show, of course. And he has formed his own group now with his own singers and dancers. So they'll be back this year. I'm sure that you'll plan on coming.
Oh, absolutely.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you some complimentary tickets.
Whoa, wow.
Big deal. It's usually a charge to get in.
Uh-huh.
We used to charge $2 or $3, and we just charge $2 for pre-sold tickets and $3 for tickets at the door. And the main reason we do that is to keep some undesirables out.
Yes,
you know, you have to be a little bit careful about who comes in.
Yeah, I'm certainly going.
Yes, you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy it.
I'm sure the first year you didn't know how people would react.
No, we didn't. We didn't know how we would react. We were nervous.
What did people like about it? What did they enjoy most?
Well, of course, I would say probably the food and the music, probably the best. Yeah, the food went over really big. As a matter of fact, we ran out of food.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to go back down to the church and cook some more the last minute.
Cool.
Because we didn't know what we were going to be catering to. We didn't know if we were going to have 1,000 people or 5,000, 200, you know. We just had no idea. And as it was, we had several thousand people.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they loved the music, you know, and the spirit and the camaraderie of everyone being together. And it was just a lot of fun for everybody.
How did that affect the people within the Greek community, their sense of themselves?
It really brought them together. Yeah, it really brought them together. There was a lot of interest sparked. And of course, I would say that they'd pretty well been together as it was, but they had a common bond, you know, having this festival every year.
Mm-hmm.
But as I say, it's gotten a little bit larger now.
Yeah.
And we even got to the point where some people were getting tired of it because, you know, it's a cooking process almost all year round. You know, we cook all of our food and freeze it. You can't expect to cook the food fresh right then and there.
Yeah, yeah.
So we start cooking usually around January for the festival in September. Yes, yes.
Cool.
So you have the problem, you know, of a certain group of women come to cook and then the other women don't want to show up and they don't want to help, or, you know, that type of thing.
Do they cook at a particular place?
At the church. All the cooking is done at church. Yeah.
Is that going on right now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, most of the cooking is finished right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, I think, probably another 3 or 4 sessions of cooking to do, and then we'll be finished.
Mm-hmm.
Now this year, in addition to the cooking, we're buying some ready-made things also that we order from up north. We've got access to a place to order from, so we'll be buying some things, but everything else is cooked fresh.
Yeah. Where do you buy from up north?
That's a place, I believe, in Chicago that will be sending us certain items that we're going to be buying.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are sweets.
Yeah.
Most of them are sweets, and they're coming right out of Chicago.
What kinds of foods will be available?
Well, I guess you've heard of the gyro. You ever heard of the gyro?
No, I haven't.
A gyro is spelled G-Y-R-O, gyro sandwich. It's on a cone. It's with beef.
Oh, yes.
And it's sliced.
Uh-huh. Yes, I know what you mean.
Then we have your shish kebab with rice. That's called a souvlaki.
Mm-hmm.
Shish kebab with your tomato and your onion. You know, you've seen regular shish kebab.
That.
That's served on a bed of rice. Then we have, as a matter of fact, it's all listed in here.
Oh, yeah.
I have to take my glasses off so I can see. We usually have the foods listed. This is the ad book from last year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me find it here. I thought it was listed, but I think this probably just the sweets are listed. We have, yeah, here it is. The souvlaki platter, which I told you about. We have a combination platter, which has traditional foods in it, such as domadas. You know what domadas are? That's the grape leaves. Mm-hmm. Okay. We serve that. Spanakopita. Spanakopita is spinach pie. Mm-hmm. It's made with spinach and the phyllo dough. You know what phyllo dough is?
Yeah.
Okay. That real thin phyllo dough. The tiropita. Tiropita is the same thing as the spanakopita, but it's made with cheese. It's delicious. You really would like that. What else we have here? We'll have bell peppers, Greek bell peppers this year. Then, of course, your feta cheese and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we'll always have a good Greek salad. Mm-hmm. So we'll have a good assortment of foods this year. Mm. Now, what we'll be doing this year that we did not do in the past, we're going to be serving cafeteria style. Uh-huh. We've never served cafeteria style before. We usually have a combination platter ready, just buy the whole platter. But this year we want to try something different and give everybody a choice of what they want. Because you might like one thing and I might not like that same thing.
Sure.
So we're going to give them a choice this year. Hopefully it'll work for us. Whether it will or not, you can ask me Saturday after the festival.
What do you do with the money that is made from the festival?
The money goes back into the community and into the church. We support several charities here in Duval County. Mm-hmm. We support the Heart Fund, we support the Cancer Fund, the Home for Battered Wives. well, it used to be called Community Chest, but it's not. It's called, what do you call it?
United Way.
United Way, uh-huh. We support that. And then, of course, we support our church, too.
Sure.
You know, we support the camp I was telling you about that my son goes to. Mm-hmm. That's an Orthodox camp, and it's a church-related camp. We help support them. We also send monies to the Archdiocese, which is your home office of the Archdiocese for the church. Mm-hmm. So we send money there. So the money is pretty well distributed back into the community. Because people often ask that, you know, I'm paying all this money for the festival, where is it coming back to?
Sure. Yep.
And it's funneled right back into the community again.
Mm-hmm. Do people seem satisfied with that answer?
Yes, they do. They do. We've really never had any problem at all. We really haven't. And we take good care of the money, you know. Now, we usually have been netting about $50,000 every year. 2 years ago, we netted $75,000. This year, they've given me a figure of $100,000, but I don't know about that.
Who's giving you that?
That's a lot. The rest of the board members at church. But I don't know about that, because our expenses are extremely high. The rental of the auditorium is high. Each item that we use at the auditorium, we have to pay for. We have to pay for the use of the chairs. We have to pay for the use of the tables, the use of the kitchen. The FJC players will be there this year, Florida Junior College, doing a production for us.
Mm-hmm. That's a play.
Mm-hmm. We have to, you know, of course, rent the St. John's room for the play. We have to have police protection. We're paying $9,000 or $10,000 this year just for the entertainment to come alone. Wow. So our expenses are about half of what we take in,
uh-huh.
You know.
Uh-huh.
So we still make some money, but the expense is awfully high.
Mm-hmm.
But we enjoy putting it on. It's gotten to be one of the social events of the city in Jacksonville. Anybody you talked about the Greek festival or Grecian festival, they know about it and they've been to it.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you think that your community had much of a visibility before the festival?
No, mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Not nearly the visibility they have now. Like we said, the Greek festival has put the Greek community on the map here in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
What does that mean to you?
Well, it's very important. It's very important to all of us that we be recognized.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, after all, the Orthodox Church is the original church. We broke off with the Catholics with the Great Schism,
mm-hmm.
But we were the original church. And most non-Orthodox, you know, just really don't know that much about the Orthodox Church.
Mm-hmm.
You probably don't know a whole lot about the Orthodox Church. Well, something you need to, you know, to enlighten yourself, or maybe come to one of our services sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
We're even having more and more services in English now.
Mm-hmm.
But our Orthodox, it's a very ceremonial type service. The service never changes, the same service every Sunday, except for certain saints' days, the service might change, or the hymns might change, or the petitions might change. But our church is our whole life is our church. Uh-huh. You know, it's very important to us. To most of us.
Yes.
Not to everyone, of course.
Yeah. What percentage of the Greeks in Jacksonville belong to the church, would you say?
You know, it'd be hard to say because there are a lot of Greeks here that never appear at all. Mm-hmm. But I would say maybe 50%. Mm-hmm. Maybe more than that, but probably 50% mm-hmm. do belong. And there are a lot of them out there that we just don't know about.
Sure.
They come out of the woodwork for the festival, though. And they're willing to help, and, uh-huh. you know, they're proud to say they're Greek that week. The rest of the year, you don't see them or hear from them.
Are there... The festival, of course, is a very public event. Are there other public events that you sponsor?
Sponsor during the year?
Mm-hmm.
Usually during the year, that might be one or two other functions that are sponsored by the church, like a dance. You know, we'll have a dance.
Mm-hmm.
That's strictly a dance for an evening where we bring a Greek band in, we charge admission, and there's Greek music, and people will attend.
Mm-hmm.
But not nearly magnitude like the festival is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's really about all that we sponsor. Our main event of the year is the festival.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the last 2 years, our church has been sponsoring, down in St. Augustine, Greek Landing Day. We have what we call the St. Photia Shrine on St. George Street in St. Augustine. I imagine you haven't been to St. Augustine
yet.
No, I've not yet. Well, you'll probably go and you'll probably love it.
Mm-hmm.
You probably like St. Augustine better than Jacksonville. So make sure to go into the shrine. It's uh-huh. a small chapel dedicated to the first Greeks that immigrated to this country. And they immigrated to New Smyrna Beach back in the 1700s, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a shrine built there in St. Augustine on St. George Street dedicated to them. And it's a nice, when you first go in, there's a short film giving the history in the background. Then there's a church, a small chapel in there, then of course souvenirs and pictures and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there is an event once a year, as a matter of fact, usually I think the second weekend in June, that is sponsored in St. Augustine, but it's sponsored by our church here because St. Augustine does not have their own parish.
Mm-hmm.
Our parish priest here also takes care of the needs in St. Augustine.
Okay.
And so we sponsor that. Now that's been just going on the last 2 years. And it's an outdoor celebration where basically the same foods are served, but it's all done outdoors.
Yeah. Is that the largest Greek community in St. Augustine?
It's the only Greek community.
See,
the communicants of St. Augustine belong to our church here.
I see.
Even though they have a small church of their own, they're responsible to this church. As far as the archdiocese is concerned, our parish priest is their parish priest. They have a small church. Now, he might go there once a month and conduct liturgy at their small church there.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them, of course, come here during the other times of the month.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fairly good Greek community in St. Augustine. It's probably 30, 40, 50 families, I guess,
yeah.
in St. Augustine.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's a lot bigger here than it is there.
I'm just going to flip this over. We're getting close to this.
How about another drink?